Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Sports Gig Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bacon, back by overwhelming popular demand. Well, maybe not. So far, we've received some great support for the show, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter at sports_gig and also the website at sportsgigpodcast.com. This week, lots of sports media news in our Bacon's Bit segment regarding the Big Ten, the Patriot League's new media partner, and the Action Network has a new sportsbook partner. Plus, our guest this week is Chase McCabe from ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. We'll talk about how sports radio internships have been affected during the COVID-19 pandemic. And later in our job segment, a number of openings from the Action Network, iHeartMedia, and an opportunity to be an NBA beat writer. So let's get started.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, nom, 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 nom. It's bacon!
Here's this week's Bacon's Bit segment highlighting news in the sports media industry. The Big Ten Conference announced a new plan to play football this fall, starting late next month. The plan is to start the weekend of October 23rd and for each team to use an 8-1 format. Now here's what this means. Each team plays 8 conference opponents. On championship weekend, the top teams in the East and West will play each other for the conference championship. That same weekend, the remaining schools in both divisions will play each other based on the standings. So the number 2 teams in the East and West will play each other, third place will play each other, and so on. As of right now on Thursday afternoon, the schedules haven't been announced yet, but are expected later this week. No word yet on broadcast schedules either. Fans will not be allowed, but they are working out a plan for families to attend. Sticking with college sports, the Patriot League reaches a multi-year agreement with ESPN to carry live and archived sporting events on their digital platform starting this year. It includes more than 800 annual events for all collegiate sports in the conference. The first event with the new agreement is this Sunday, a women's soccer game between Navy and Pittsburgh. Legal sports betting in the United States continues to grow, and the Action Network partners with a new company that focuses on high wager bettors. Vigtory is a new sports betting operator that will allow bettors to place larger bets with the lower VIG, also known as juice. The agreement gives Vigtory exclusive rights to integrate the Action Network's betting tools into their app. The new betting platform is expected to be live in 5 states within the next 12 to 18 months. This week's guest is Chase McCabe, who's a co-host of the Darren Donick and Chase Show for ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. He also serves as the assistant program director for the station. Chase, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Yeah, well, first off, obvious question. I mean, all everything else aside, how are you doing with COVID personally, professionally? I mean, it's pretty much on the topic of our minds everywhere right now.
Yeah, it's been a weird 6 months, that's for sure. I've been in the business for close to 9 years, if you include an internship at the station. So I've been there my whole time, and I've been a full-time on-air host for over a year now, and this has been the wackiest thing that I've experienced in my career, whether it's a producer or a programmer or what have you. But I'm good. You're in my studio, my home studio. We all have kind of our setups now, and I've added to it as time has gone on, because at first when we came home, I'm like, all right, be here a couple of weeks, and then back at the station, and then it became a month, and it's like, well, I need a mic stand, so I'm tired of holding my mic, so we'll do that, and just kind of build things as I've gone. But it's good. I'm used to it now. Now it's just routine. It's nice to be able to wear t-shirts and just kind of chill yeah, in the home studio.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. You know, once we get past this thing, you know what we can do from home and how it changes us, you know, moving forward, rather than it used to be, I imagine, just, all right, got to go to the studio, go to work, and go from there. It might change the whole ball game.
Yeah. And it already has for me. I was actually talking to our owner, Bud Walters, a couple of weeks ago, 'cause he asked how I was doing. I went in to the station, which I've done a couple of times, you know, here lately. I've been going in maybe once a week. And he said, you know, I'm finding working from home that I'm working more than I did before, almost too much. And I said, well, I am too, because you used to, I'd get in around 8:30. I'd usually leave 5:30. Well, now I wake up, have some coffee, sit at the computer, do some work, and that's at 7. Then I might take a break. Then I do my show from 10 to 2. Then I'll take a little break. Then I get back to work. And then sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting in the office working on different things. So it's my hours are all completely different. Now I think I'm more productive because I can go at my pace.
Sure.
That's how it was at school. So it kind of works the same way. But I think there's obviously, like anything, there's pros and cons to it. But I've gotten used to it. I'm fine with it. If we keep doing this for you know, any amount of time, I'm totally cool with it.
All right. Now, part of your role as the assistant program directors is working with interns and yeah, hiring them and getting them going. Now, how has this current situation, how has that impacted how you handle the interns?
That's been the unfortunate part because a little background. I went to MTSU and I started at this radio station 3 months after it launched as an intern. I knew Willie Donick a little bit, wanted to work with him. He made the switch over from 104.5 to 102.5. And so I applied for an internship and it led to a career. So internships are very, very important to me because of what they've done for my career. Unfortunately, in our COVID 2020 world, we haven't been able to have interns because our building is just limited. I mean, there were times where I didn't go in. I was told not to go in because they wanted to make sure that there was few people as possible. We didn't know what this virus was going to do. Know a little bit more now, obviously, but that was the unfortunate part of making those calls or texts to our interns and saying, hey, you can't come in. Well, when can I come back? I don't know. And that was the answer. And I know how important internships are because, as you know, Chris, in this business, it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. And the way in the door is getting an internship and then going from there. You know, my story was I signed up for a 3 month internship, got credit for it. Dr. Heinrich was my advisor. And so he approved it. And it's like, all right. At the time I was a little older than most college kids. I was 23, 24. And I said, all right, I'll do this for 3 months, get that credit and then see what happens. But I go into a job giving it my all. And I realized because I had the TV dreams, but I realized radio was a lot of fun. And so I really got into it. And the day my internship was supposed to end, I go into my supervisor, Jeremy Benefield, my boss, and say, hey, thanks, appreciate the opportunity. He just looks at me and goes, where are you going? Like, I didn't tell you could leave. And so I ended up doing 3 more months. And then it was the same thing. Well, hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Now, where are you going? Here's a job. You know, here's a part-time job. That happens, doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot. And that's how you can get in the door. And even if it's not at the company you're interning at, they know somebody that knows somebody. You know, I use when I'm interviewing interns and I'm giving the same speech that I'm giving you, I will use the NFL analogy of think of it as you're in training camp and you may not make this team, but somebody could see your film and go, hey, I want you on my team, and you make their team or their practice squad. That's exactly what an internship can do, because in my 9 years, I know some people now. And so I may not, you know, Elijah Campbell is a prime example of somebody that was an intern and is now the producer of our show in middays, that at the time I didn't have a spot for him. And I was like, okay, he's a good kid. He works hard. Who do I know? And then it worked out where, you know, we did have a spot. But right, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, because as a hiring person who's hiring and looking for them, who are you going to take? You're going to take, yeah, and just even on a job basis, who are you going to take? Somebody you've worked with and already know their work ethic, what they're like, or somebody where you see a resume and that's all you see?
Yeah. Yeah. A resume tells you some things, but it doesn't tell you everything. And being around, you know, as a company, as a station, we've hired a ton of interns that because we know them, we know what they're capable of. I mean, we got two on the air, myself included. Jared Stillman was another intern with us when he was in college at Louisville. Elijah, Calvin Smith, who went to MTSU, was one of our interns. Our afternoon show producer was an intern. So it shows you the importance of getting to know people, and they know how the company works and all of that. And so that's why it's so important. And that's why it's even, and I'm sure we'll get to this, it's even more important to leave a good impression, not just go through the motions.
Right.
Because we have had interns that they are there for the credit and they just like, whatever, answer phones, don't go the extra mile. I don't remember their names. I couldn't tell you anything about them.
Right.
That's so not good.
No, because you need to leave that impression. Now, in order, and some of it's kind of unwritten, right? It's like, intern, it's almost like do whatever is needed. And what do specifics, like specifically in your grand, in your perfect world, mm-hmm. what would you have an intern doing on a daily basis for you?
So because one thing that's been cool about my career is I've done a little bit of everything. So I was a producer for a long time, the executive producer of a show. And so I would always, when I was hiring an intern, I stole a phrase from Jeremy that hired me that I'm focused on what's in front. I need you to worry about what's behind me. So that includes screening phone calls, which is a very important part to a sports talk show because you don't want to let just anybody on the air. So more than just answering, hey, what do you want to talk about? Like, have a little bit of a conversation, help me there so I don't have any surprises. Editing audio, putting it on our website, because as you know, and it's changed even in the 9 years that I've been in, everything's on demand. People don't want to sit in their car or listen to the radio all the time anymore. They don't do that. They want to go listen at their pace, whether they're out for a walk or something like that. They'll pick up their phone, put it on a podcast, and they can catch up there. So it's very important that we have that all on our website. Our interns up until COVID were the ones doing that. Mm-hmm. And I could trust my interns of, all right, I don't have to go listen to it. I know that they have been taught. I taught them. They know how to edit it. It's going to sound the way that it would if I put it up there. And most of the time, that's what happens. So those are kind of the big basic things that I have an intern do. But I would also love it when I'm sitting there in the control room and I play a drop in the middle of a show and they go, what was that? Well, it was Nick Saban. Well, why'd you do that? Well, because it added this to the show. Asking those types of questions of, okay, well, if I'm in your position, then why would I do that?
Right.
And then asking, okay, how does the board work? Can I run a segment? You know, that's that above and beyond. Those are the ones that usually walk out of there and I say, where are you going? Because yeah. I need somebody to run a game on a weekend. Can you do that?
Yeah. And it's almost, because that's also the time where you could tell, you know, in this business, it's hard to be somebody who's quiet that doesn't like to talk to people. You can't. So it's the people who they start showing that interest and they show that eagerness that really shows up. And that's also something you can't show on a resume though.
No, right. You can't. And a resume that's kind of like stats, you know, it tells you something, but it doesn't tell you the full story. And, you know, I was one of those quiet guys. And what was funny is when I look back and I go, why did I want to get into this business? I was shy. You know, it was like, I was scared of my own shadow the first time I walked in that building. But if you want it hard enough, I mean, it's going to make you change. It's going to make you come out of that shell. And I feel like that there's been some interns that have done that too. I referenced Jared, our afternoon show host. If you listen to Jared Stillman's show, you will think that guy's not shy. He's, you know, very confident in himself. I remember when he was an intern, he wasn't that opinionated. He was quiet. He did his job. He kept to himself, but that came out of him over time. A lot of people will do that, you know, through an internship or really just living life. But I think, and that's cool to watch. It's cool to see that. It's cool to see kind of the evolution of a person.
How, as far as skill sets, there's always things that you want somebody to have, but there's also that, boy, I really wish I had more interns that had this and this. What are you seeing in regards to any skill sets that you really wish you had, or that's a lack that you're having a lack of nowadays?
That's a really good question. I think sometimes, especially in a world where what is it, four seconds attention span, 4 second attention span, attention to detail. Because and it's really hard to teach that. you either have that or you don't. But I can remember when I would be editing a piece of audio, and if it wasn't completely perfect, I would drive myself nuts until it was. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in some, you know, students, kids, that it's like, okay, let's just get this done as quickly as we possibly can and move on to the next thing. It's we want to just bang, 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 go, 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 go. Slow down, pay attention, focus on the little things. And that's what I would like to see more of. Now, there are some that do that and you notice it. Now you can fine tune it, but those are the kids that stand out to me of, all right, I can tell that they're really putting a little extra into this. And it's not the ones that don't, it's not that they don't care. It's just, that's kind of the way of the world now, of everything's moving so fast that you're trying to cram so much into a short amount of time that you're going to have things fall off your plate.
Yeah.
And so that would probably be the best way I could answer that question.
Yeah. Like if Mike Vrabel has a press conference in the middle of your show and you're getting that audio back and they're cutting it and you put it on, but you hear a little bit of, it's not as the cleanest beginning, yes, you know, not the cleanest end. And they think, yeah, I did a good job because I got it on the air, but there's just those little itty bitty parts that really do mean the world on the production side.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. And it's funny you bring that up because Elijah and I actually had this conversation recently. It's different. Press conferences are so different now because they're all on Zoom. And so you do have a lot of, all right, here's Mike Vrabel with Teresa Walker from the AP always gets the first question. Let's go to Teresa. Hey, coach. And it's like that with everybody. So cutting that stuff out. And when I hear it, the first time I heard something like that, for me, it was like, oh, no, no. Oh, gross. No, cut that. You know, let's tighten it up. But then I have to think, okay, well, if you've never been taught that, if you've never experienced that, if you're just used to, you know, just hearing things live and you don't think in that realm, I would understand how you missed that. And so I, you know, Elijah and I talked and I said, hey, let's clean it up and, you know, get rid of some of the gaps. And it's like, oh yeah, perfect. Now it sounds so much better, but it's teaching that, it's realizing that you have to teach that, that it's not just second nature to people anymore to have that attention to detail.
Yeah. Now how about, and it's tough right now talking about this, but you know, people who listen to this podcast, this is episode 2, by the way.
Oh, cool.
So we are, the handful of people who have listened say we should do more. So I am proud to do this, but there are people who have or will be listening to this are have some experience.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the jobs and what you've seen in radio, what areas of growth really are there? We've heard about some of your growth as going from producer to having your show and as assistant program director. What are some areas for people who may have a show right now, maybe producers right now, maybe doing this? What are areas of growth that people could see, especially now? Are we going to be seeing very much growth right now? Or are we just kind of treading water until we kind of get past this thing? Or, you know, what are some areas that people could be really looking ahead to? Not necessarily looking for new jobs, but, you know, how can they build themselves?
Well, I think there are several ways to answer that question. So I'll try not to be long-winded on it. The biggest thing is the technology. Like we started this off of talking about doing the show from my house and how I've, you know, gotten used to that and we've evolved into that. I don't think that's going away. There's going to be a lot more, you know, press conferences on Zoom because in our industry, you know, the locker room, that's the players. That's for the players. The media have access to it, can walk in there. And I'm not saying that it's not going to come back, but I don't think it's going to be the same. So understanding how can you develop relationships with a player or a coach through a computer screen. It's hard, but you're going to have to do it, because the ones that are the most successful in this business, you know, can have those, you know, conversations with a coach or a player that's off the record, can call them, can, you know, text or whatever. And a lot of that happens because you're just mingling in the locker room. You get to know a guy. It's going to be different, at least for a while, the foreseeable future. So that's probably the one area of growth where, all right, you have to get creative of how you're going to be able to get news, get information that you can give to your listeners, to your followers, what have you. So that's probably one of the biggest ways that I would answer that question. Being a sponge is a phrase that my boss used to use all the time, meaning learn everything. And so for me, for example, even before COVID, I produced, host, you know, I was a host. I've been assistant program director for about 4 years now. I wear all these hats, and I make jokes all the time of I have 7 jobs. Well, it keeps me here. It keeps me employed. And in a post-COVID world where, unfortunately, a lot of these media companies, I mean, they're going to trim, and they're going to be letting people go, and they're not going to be able to get back in the business because there's not room. The more you know how to do, the better off you're going to be. You know, I would love to be able to just crack the mic and host a show every day, have 4 hours and be done.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. They're long gone. So you have to be willing to do more than your job, so to speak, because your job is now becoming 3 jobs. And that's not just radio. I mean, that's pretty much everywhere. That's the media industry, but that's pretty much any job. So I would say that's one of the biggest things too. Be willing to do more than maybe you were when you first started.
So it does. So Nashville's Nashville is a very big, great professional sports market. This is a destination place for people. So you're telling me so you don't just walk in every day. So if somebody is in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, getting their first gig in radio, and they think, hey, I've got an opportunity in Nashville. It's going to be perfect. Everything is going to be set up and ready for me. I'm going to just sit down in my chair and the microphone is going to be on and I just do my show. You mean that's not the case?
No, not at all. No, it hasn't been. I mean, because think about it. Now I have to, I know this is a radio, but, or a podcast, I have this little device called an iPhone that, I mean, has everything. It'll tell me the score of my favorite team. It'll have Twitter. It has all of that. Well, I have to be connected to that, and I have to know how to use it. I have to have a presence on social media, because if I wait until my show to break a story that I may have, I'm going to get beat. It's that. So you have to, you're always on. It's not just 10 to 2 for me. I'm on 24/7, because if, you know, I get information from somebody of, hey, you know, this Nashville Predators player is not going to resign or whatever, you know, I can't wait till 10 o'clock. I have to tweet it out. So yeah, the guy in Iowa, I mean, have a social media presence, you know, digital. We're all about digital. That's one thing that I've kind of helped with during this is, you know, we're doing more Facebook Lives and Periscope shows and things like that, because people want that instant connection to you. They want their instant news. So Nate Washington, who played for the Titans for quite some time, he and I did a post game at 12:30 in the morning after the Titans beat the Broncos, 15 minutes, all it really was. We did a post game show on Facebook. I mean, it's adding that to your resume. If you're somebody, like I started this saying, like I wanted to go into TV and then I kind of fell in love with radio and did that. Well, I'm learning, I'm taking my TV skills that I learned at MTSU and I'm using them on Facebook Live and Periscope and things like that, because you have to build the digital brand. So that's another part of the growth.
And it's growth and always thinking of what's next, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because everybody, truthfully, everybody's a reporter now. If you have a Twitter account, you can be a reporter. I mean, you have podcasts everywhere. you said you just started this one. I mean, they have boomed during COVID. And so it's, you got to stay with that. You have to combat that. You have to, it's all about competition. So that's, and it's going to change in the next few years, even without COVID.
Yeah, constantly got to be with the times and keep being ahead of the game. Well, Chase, I can't thank you enough. I mean, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're in the middle of your day and doing your show. You just got off your show not too long ago, but I really do appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate it. And it's been a lot of fun to tell stories and give advice.
All right. Well, that's Chase McKay from ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville.
It's not about the paycheck. It's about respect. It's about looking in the mirror and knowing that you've done something valuable with your day.
It's time to take a look at a few jobs in sports media that are open right now. Earlier, I talked about a new partnership between the Action Network and Vigtory. Well, the Action Network is looking for three different editors for their online platform: an associate editor, a general editor, and a senior editor. All three positions are remote-based full-time positions. For more on those openings, go to actionnetwork.com and click on the Careers tab at the bottom of the page. iHeartMedia has numerous openings for part-time weekend sports anchors at multiple stations in Phoenix, San Antonio, Cincinnati, Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Sacramento, and Atlanta. They have a separate virtual position open as well. Duties include writing, editing, and voicing local and national sports reports. You'll need at least 5 years of experience in a similar sports or news operation. For more information, go to iHeartMedia.com and click on Careers. NBA Rookie of the Year Ja Morant is one of the league's rising stars. Defenders struggled covering him all season long. Now, you can cover him on a regular basis. The Commercial Appeal in Memphis is looking for a beat reporter to cover the Grizzlies. You'll need at least 2 years of experience in sports reporting and should have a competitive beat experience covering either college or professional sports. For more info, go to Gannett.com and click on Careers. Well, episode 2 is now in the books. Thanks again to Chase McCabe from ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Be sure to check out the website at sportsgigpodcast.com and follow on social media at sports_gig. We'll see you next time.